Welcome back to the Dolls Gang Podcast. This is our 17th edition of the Dolls Gang Podcast, and today we have another very special guest. Mike Etchemendi is the owner of Big Sky Pharmacy in Miles City, and he's also the head coach of the Custer County Cowboys wrestling program. He has now completed his 7th season as the coach of the Cowboys, going into his 8th season this coming year. The Cowboys have reeled off 2 third-place finishes and took 2nd a year ago. The girls' program has also been back-to-back state runners-up. Mike was a 3-time state champion and arguably the best wrestler the Cowboys ever had, finishing 3rd as a freshman at 98 pounds and winning his final 3 seasons. That led to him wrestling at Oklahoma, followed by Wyoming, on a wrestling scholarship. He later got back into coaching later on, starting the Sacred Heart Junior High program from scratch. And then, right after that, he became coach of the Cowboys, where he will be entering his 8th season at the helm this coming fall. I sat down this afternoon with Etchemendi at City Brew in Miles City. Well, Mike, it's good to have you on here.
Yeah, thanks, Zach.
Absolutely. And it's like last time we were talking, we were at Bucking Horse Sale, eh?
Yeah, a couple of my high school buddies were in town and just had to go downtown and meet up with them.
Yeah, so who are they? David Laird was one of them. And who was one of them? Who was the other?
There was Ned Wilson. He was on the Class of 85 football team. Colin McDonald and Vic Rell.
Okay, and not all those names sound familiar to me, but now David Laird, like one of the things we were talking about, he was kind of wearing that old jacket of his. It said Laird on it, and
it said Bo.
Oh, it said Bo on it. So that was his dad's jacket.
That was his dad's jacket.
Yeah, like now I knew his dad played for the Grizz, but like back in the 40s. But it's kind of new to me. He played for the Grizz as well.
Yeah, I think he was a cornerback. You know, I didn't go to Missoula, so you know, I wasn't around it all that much. But yeah, I think he was a corner on defense.
Okay, yeah, that is kind of new to me. You guys kind of got a class reunion coming up in that regard.
Next year will be our 40th.
Okay, next year's your 40th, and like you said before we got on here, Custer's first one-sport athlete. You kind of have to elaborate on that a little bit.
Back in the day, everybody played every sport, and it just, I was a football player, but, you know, there's not a lot of use for 120-pound safeties, 130-pound safeties, so they made it, the coaches and my dad made it real clear that I wasn't gonna get a lot of playing time, and they convinced me to quit football. And actually, I did play golf too in the spring. Back then, it was in the spring.
Yeah.
But really, I think I was Custer's first one-sport athlete. So.
Yeah, and you know, somewhere online, I think I found a picture of like fall of '81, your freshman year, playing some football. Was that right?
Yeah, and I was a safety back then. And
yeah, and again, like 98 pounds soaking wet. Now, the reason I came up with that number is because that those were wrestling numbers back then, just based off of that.
Well, and it was worse because I actually wasn't 98 pounds back then. I was 90 pounds.
90 on the dot.
I was giving up 8 pounds right out of the gate in wrestling that year. So, yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, it's like, but that was actually fairly common back in those days, wasn't it? Like, there weren't that many, even in football, for example, like, I think Clay Griffith that year would have been the only guy over 200 pounds, wasn't he?
I don't know, but yeah, he might have been. I don't know. I'd have to think about that one, but yeah, there weren't too many guys that were very big back then.
Yeah,
not like today.
Yeah, so just to kind of start off, but did you play a lot of other sports kind of before you got to high school?
No, you know, I was pretty much a wrestler. I played baseball, wasn't very good at it. golf, I wasn't very good, but I did letter in it, so
yeah, but
that was about it.
Yeah, of course, your brother, obviously, football and basketball. Yeah, you had a couple of older sisters, too, didn't you?
Yeah, they didn't play sports.
Okay, yeah, what were your sister's names? Jodell was one of them, and yep. Who was the other?
And then Michelle.
Michelle. And as I understand, like, you've said some stuff before, like, and all you guys were adopted, if I remember right?
Jody was not.
Ah.
Yeah, she was the only one.
Okay. That sounds like my dad's family. We were only two kids in my dad's family. Like my dad was kind of a surprise there, but like my Aunt Dee's two kids, you know, relates this to something you said, like her two kids are the first biological relatives that she knew herself. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, it's, yeah, when you start having kids then, those are your first biological, relatives.
Yeah, and you kind of said too, like, Marty kind of, he was hoping to have a huge family.
I think so. I think that's, I mean, from what I remember, and my sisters and I have talked about it, yeah, I think he wanted to have, I think he probably would have about 10. Yeah. You know, we're related to the Reeds here in town.
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
They had a big family, and Marty was really tight with all the Reeds.
Yeah, and don't you have an aunt like that's like Kelly Reed's mom or what?
Yes. Is that, yeah, my
your aunt is Kelly Reed's mom. Okay.
My mom and my dad and his mom were brother sister.
Okay. So you and Kelly first cousins?
Yep.
Okay. I got a couple first cousins that played like basketball for the Cats. But anyway, Marty was a pretty good athlete, multiple sports growing up.
Yeah, and he was way more of a multiple sport athlete than me, that's for sure. And honestly, I mean, he wrestled, he just wasn't.
Oh, you wrestled? And like in junior high or what?
Yeah, when we were kids. And he wasn't really great, but I'll tell you what, the one thing he did was he made me a good wrestler.
Okay, that tough brotherly love, that I can tell.
He would kick the crap out of me all the time. So, and he was tough.
Yeah, and I think I heard, I was in Butte one time, like there were a couple Butte guys talking about like he'd get in bar fights, stuff like that.
Yeah, I think too many. But you know, that's another thing in college, he actually played rugby.
Okay.
So.
Rugby.
He got big in that.
Yeah, like I feel like we're going to get back to like this in a minute, but like you got to think he could have played football in college if he wanted to.
You know, I think maybe NAIA, I don't think he would have gone any bigger than that.
Yeah, like, that's what Tech was.
Right, yeah. And, but you know, when he got there, he was, he graduated with honors.
Oh, yeah.
And he was a good athlete, but he was definitely smarter than he was an athlete.
Oh, yeah, I can tell, like, semifinalist for that National Merit Scholar.
Yep.
I think they have that whole list in the high school, but anyway, growing up, you know, another thing we talked about, you know, played football and basketball, like obviously 81 in football, we'll get to that in a second, but yeah, was he on the varsity in 81, like when they got second in basketball his junior year?
I think he was like the sixth or the seventh guy in.
Mm.
I don't think he was one of the starters.
Okay, like with, I think Bruce Randall, Vince Gonlock, those were two of the seniors, and Bruce Shipp.
Yep, and you know, Brian Jackman was on that team, and Ryan Roloff. I'm going to miss some guys, and if I do, I'm sorry, guys. But
it's okay.
You know, it's basketball, so it's not my sport.
Mm. Yeah, like, now Ryan Roloff, I actually, how is it possible, like, no relation to the head coach, but, like there were two Roloffs that quarterbacked, but only one was Ed Roloff's son.
Right, and Ryan was, he was a heck of an athlete, man. I think his nickname was Flying Ryan.
Mm.
So
that's what it was.
Fucking Ryan.
Yeah. Now, I think he came back for a football game. I don't know if it was his class reunion or not, but obviously, here in a little bit, I'll ask you kind of where the rest of the guys now, but like Knoxville, Tennessee, and like he used to tell the story of like radio announcers were like, Ed Roloff's son coming in at quarterback.
Yeah. I'm sure it was.
Yeah. To be honest, though, I can honestly tell there was kind of some controversy, like, because, like, of the really small age gap. Because he was only in his early 30s at the time.
Oh, Ed was. Oh, yes. Yeah. You know, and back then, you don't think about it that those guys were that, those coaches were that young because they, I don't know, they just seemed like they were, well, they were men. They were adults. And,
You guys were going to get coached.
Oh, yes, yeah. We definitely were.
And, of course, those numbers were those numbers, but let's dive into this a little bit now. That senior class now, 80, we talked about basketball, and I think basketball was pretty senior-related. Every sport was senior-related in those days, but now, like from the year before, kind of, Bob Connors, Glasgow's quarterback, he played for the Grizz. He kind of said, and I quote, "My junior team in 79 would have beat my senior team in 80 by 50. We just kind of happened to be in the right year." But, you know, likewise, same. We talked about it at Buckenhorst, same could be said for the from turnover from 80 to 81, because they only returned two starters.
You know, I was only a freshman when that 80-81 changeover with the football, but Ed, the first day of practice, I remember this clear as day, he said, "We're not rebuilding, we're reloading."
Yeah, and that, I feel like he said that every year, you know. Every single year, he had that mentality. So there were a few years that he had down years, but most of the time they were contending for state championships, you know. But that was his mentality was, you know. And I think Clay and Ernie were like, or Bighorn were the only returning starters off that 80 team.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. And I don't really know because I was an eighth grader, and I don't remember that 80 team like I did the 81 team.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Did Marty play a lot on the 80 team?
Oh, you know, I don't think so. I think he was like special teams back then more than anything. Mm. I think he started it, well, he started most of his senior year, but I don't think he did his junior year.
Okay.
You remember, that's almost 45 years ago now, Zach.
Oh, wow. But yeah, now, and of course, it was a seniors game back then, wasn't it?
Yeah,
and even the 81 team, that like almost a completely new players. I don't even think Kent Roberts started at linebacker the previous year.
But yeah, like, that's tough to believe too.
But. Yeah, but like even then, I think Phil Anderson was the only underclassman that started, even then.
Yeah, that's probably about right.
Yeah, do you remember what Custer's enrollment was back then?
I know it was more than it is now. I think we were in the 5 or 6.
Okay,
area.
I guess Glendive had a lot more. They were in the 700s and 800s, but Glendive was kind of the bigger school back then.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, it was, I don't know, just more kids, I guess. I don't know what the change is.
But anyway, of course, I guess something I was going to say was, it's like, were you guys Catholic growing up? Members of the Catholic Church?
Yes and no. Yeah, my dad kind of had a falling out with the Catholic Church, and then later on we kind of got back to it. But yeah, my older sister was the only one that went to Sacred Heart. My dad got mad at the Catholic Church, and then none of us went. And my sister actually transferred over to Custer.
Yeah, like that's an explanation, because like. Man, why in the world did Sacred Heart shut its doors? Now,
yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we were, you know, both programs were good in football.
Yeah, you got to think
basketball for that matter.
Yeah, you got to think the last basketball league game they ever played is on YouTube. If you've ever seen it.
Oh no, I haven't.
Okay.
You know, I was the first wrestling coach for Sacred Heart.
Junior high.
We brought it back.
But like. There was one school at that time, you got to think, maybe at least 1 to 2 more state titles Custer could have had.
You know,
like Kenny Lang was probably the best for like either school, arguably. One could make the argument.
Could you imagine him and Ernie Bighorn in the backfield?
Yeah.
You know, though, I think that the run through the 90s is just the culmination of that. I mean, that's when the schools came together. And it really showed.
Yeah, because like Joe Baker would have went to Sacred Heart. Red Regan would have went to Sacred Heart. Yeah. A number of players would have went to Sacred Heart.
Yeah, it was a big deal when those came back together.
Anyway, but like they did come close to twin state titles like a couple times. 82, they both lost the semis on the same day, but like 80 like was probably where they came the closest.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, 80, Sacred Heart won it, if I'm remembering right, and then we won it in 81, and that weird playoff thing in 81 kind of robbed us. Sorry, excuse me.
Yeah, it was kind of weird, like, all across the board, because, of course, from, like, the 60s to, like, the 80s, like, only division champs went to the playoffs. And then 81, only the division champions. There were no playoffs. You just go straight to the championship game, and then they kind of switched it. 82, Sydney the next year wouldn't have got a chance to play for the title. Neither would Glasgow of an 83. Sydney wouldn't have won seven in a row. They would have won a few, but they wouldn't have won seven in a row. Mile City wouldn't have won an 8 and 10. I could name a few other teams that wouldn't have won, but you know, those are kind of some scrappy playoff formats there.
Yeah. Now I think they probably put too many teams in the playoffs, but you know, the 90s, I think they straightened that out.
That's fair enough. You know, three is good. You know.
Yep. I agree.
Yeah, that 81 team, they kind of had that mindset. You know, like. And that defense was even better. Four shutouts in their first five games.
Yeah. I don't think they were as talented as the year before.
Oh yeah.
But I think mentally they had kind of an edge to them, and they really came together as a team. That's what I really remember.
And kind of an off game against Glasgow, but Kent Roberts. Now he and Marty were kind of best friends, long time.
Oh yeah, the Beef. That's what he called him. Marty called Kent the Beef.
And I think, is Kent down in Texas right now?
I guess I don't know. I thought he was still here in Miles City, but I guess I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him for a while, so maybe he didn't.
Like, did he or his son Zane end up playing college football, either one of them?
Oh, I don't know, but I don't think so. I think Kent went right to work after school.
Okay. And
I'm not positive about that.
And, I wonder if Zane played in college. I know Zane played in the Shrine game, but I don't know if he played college or not.
I don't know. I wasn't living here at the time when he graduated, so I'm not sure.
Okay. But that 81, you know, like, beat Billings Central, and then the state championship game, you kind of like, what do you remember from that? And, Ernie, you know, like, he was kind of the, you know, we talked about, at Bucking Horse, we talked about, you know, Ryan Roloff got in a bad shop class accident and then came out early in the game, and, you know, kind of talk about that a little bit, and then kind of everything you kind of remember from that game, you know, watching your brother and his team kind of pull together.
Well, you know, the thing that really sticks out in my memory, and it did back then, was Gary Lucas coming in. I mean, as a sophomore, and Gary's not that big, and he wasn't that big back then, but boy, he could run the option, and he was actually a really good passer too. And but you know, they at the end of the game they ran that option to the left side, and Gary held onto the ball till the last second. I think he was getting tackled when he was pitching it.
Oh yeah.
And Ernie just walked into the end zone, and it wouldn't have mattered. Ernie was going to make it in the end zone anyway.
He was going to find a way. He wasn't going to lose that game.
But as I remember, man, he just walked in. And then the only other thing I can remember is my brother caught, I don't know what it was. You'd probably have the exact yards. It was a long, it was just a little down and out. Marty got the ball and took off. And my dad gave Marty crap forever about getting caught. He got caught on the 1 yard line. and Marty was always like, well, it was the fastest guy on their team, and he had an angle on me. So
who was it? Was it Brian Morris was probably the guy that brought him down?
I don't know.
Had
who
to
it
have
was.
Been. If you, he had been. To have been the. He was the fastest guy on the field. Like.
but yeah, my dad wouldn't let my brother live that one.
But he did kind of have the touchdown that proved to be the difference in their 16-14 win against Laurel early in the season. 96 yards, which is a school record that stood for like 13 years.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Of course, the name of the game, you know, Kent and Clay, those guys. How did Brian Morris, like, he was a man among boys, played at Stanford, probably one of the best running backs of all time, like, probably the best Butte Central of all time ever. Yeah. And they held him to only 15 yards on 19 carries.
And the littlest guy on the defense took him out, and that was Ricky Strohmeyer.
Yeah, you told me that. Yeah. Like, he was
I don't know, because I wasn't in on the game planning by any means. I mean, we were done as freshmen by then, but I believe the whole game, Rick was to shadow him. You'd almost have to get him on there to confirm that, or maybe Kent if you get him on. But that was my understanding, is that Ricky was just shadowing
and
him.
And I've heard stories about him, like 5'6" soaking wet.
Yeah.
And, like, as undersized as they come, but he was, like, played twice as big as his size was.
He hit like a ton of bricks.
Yeah. Did any of those, I guess, anyone besides Clay end up playing college ball?
Out of that team? I don't know. I don't think so. You know, and Clay played for the
Washington. He's
Huskies,
probably,
yeah.
He's the best overall Cowboy, you think? Like, I know there's a couple, like, now, Lang from Sacred Heart played for the 84 Cats. Bruce Randall, who's on the 80 team, played for the 84
Bergman.
Cats. Bergman as well. Like, he was Gary's top receiver the next couple years.
Bucky
Haynes. But you got to think, Clay kind of, he's probably gone as far as any Cowboy in any sport has ever gone to.
Yeah, that could, you could argue that.
And he did start for the Huskies there in the 80s.
You know, I'm not sure how he did. I didn't follow him as much. You know, and the sports weren't, I don't think ESPN was even on then. But
you're probably right.
It was tougher to get that kind of news.
Yeah, where is he now, Clay?
You know, I think he's still out in Washington, but the last time I saw him was, I think it was 82's 30th class reunion. Dropped by just to see all the guys.
Now, just a thought, you know, like, this whole championship game, all this stuff, might bring me to my next point. Now, little fun fact, I actually just found this out not too long ago. You know, Brian Morris will... And they did win state and track that year, though, but, Brian Morris was the valedictorian for Butte Central. Now, mind you, Butte Central and Butte High, they were all-time great rivals at that time. Brian Morris, valedictorian at Butte Central, and the valedictorian for Butte High, none other than Marty's future wife, Colleen Hemmert.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
You didn't know that?
Oh. No, you know, and I suppose I should have, because I know she was smart, you know.
She was from Butte, yeah.
No, I know that too, you know, but, I guess I didn't realize she was valedictorian. That's awesome.
Oh, I guess you just found that out. I found that out too. I got a newspapers account. I guess I spent hours just looking at old newspapers on there, so.
Cool. Yeah, that's a neat fact. Thanks for telling me that.
Yeah, but you got to think, like, if she probably had some friends from Butte Central, like, imagine, like, she was watching her future husband, like, and his team, like, in that championship game, and she didn't even know it.
It's a possibility. I don't know. I've never asked her if she watched that game.
Yeah. So. I wonder if she played any sports in high school, maybe, or...
Oh, I think so. I think her little sister was, Heidi was a little bit better, but I think Colleen ran track.
Did she have a brother, like Tom Hemmert or something?
Yeah, Tom was, he was a
He was on like the 84 championship Butte High team, I think.
Well, he played for MCC too.
Oh, wow. You know, Sean Neary also Butte High, graduated of 86, and he also played for MCC. And of course, he's a longtime junior college basketball coach.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And likewise, Sean's boys are kind of two of my best friends. Do you know Sean pretty well when he was in town?
You know, yeah, I did. But, you know, I'm just really good friends with the Lucases, so.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
You know. And, was Marty's son, was Johnny an athlete growing up by any means?
Not really. Johnny's into soccer, and I think he played that, but I don't think he played basketball or football.
Okay. You know, yeah, were any of Colleen's other kids athletes? By any means, like...
Oh, not that I know of.
Okay, fair enough. Not that kind of a family there.
No.
But everything else, like, I think it's one thing... I've always heard stories like Johnny was, like, just like his dad, and, like, even, like, I think...
To the T.
I think, like, even, like, here's how to the T. Like, I heard stories once, like, I felt clean on Facebook as well, like, I think she once told the story of, like, the fuel I was on, and he's like... Let's see how much further we can go till the car dies, and she just broke down because Marty asked that exact same question.
He was a smart aleck. He liked to live on the edge. Yeah, he pushed things. He liked to push Colleen's buttons. Definitely.
Okay, and like...
Push everybody's buttons.
In that moment, like, something you also said one time, like, when, of course, your dad owned Yeah, was your dad the owner of sanitation before Kelly Reed? Was like his immediate predecessor? Like
no, he wasn't.
Was there someone was in between there?
Yeah, we owned the my dad owned the garbage service and actually Marty and I were also in Colstrip Disposal.
Oh.
And then after Marty passed away, my dad decided to sell, and we sold out to Waste Management, big company, and I think it got sold a couple more times, and then Kelly bought it after that.
Okay. Of course, he's just sold these two hotels there here down the road.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know any of those details at all.
Yeah, and like something else, you said in one time, you're like he was, even as a youngster, he was also kind of making some big business decisions there. Now, like, and you said, and I quote, like, he knew the business wasn't going to support two of us, so he had kind of had it all mapped out. I was going to own Big Sky Pharmacy.
Yeah, when I got in, well, I was pre-pharmacy at the time, but he's like, yeah, he says, I'll run Miles City Sanitation, and you're gonna run Big Sky Pharmacy.
Yeah, how many guys, it's like 22, you're already making all these big business decisions.
I think he just had big dreams.
This guy could own Google, man.
Yeah, but yeah. Yeah, he had it all mapped out. And that's kind of, you know, my dad was kind of a control freak, and Marty definitely was.
Yeah, so kind of, yeah, how long have you owned Big Sky?
Oh, I bought in 2009.
Nine. Yep. Like, it was kind of everything that kind of led up to that.
Yeah, well, I really fell into it. I was actually working for Walmart at the time, and I heard that John Filler owned it at that time, and I heard he was looking for somebody, and I was sick of the corporate world. So I gave him a call and said, hey, we need to talk, and he's like, absolutely. And
man.
Next thing you know, I'm working for him.
As fate would have it.
Yep, and I worked for him for about 9 years before I bought him.
Yeah, and so this was kind of like, was it kind of right after it was like the big Main Street fire?
When I bought in, it was like 2 months later.
Okay, but they were able to save that, but the cellar and a bunch of other big things. I was in second grade at Highland Park at recess when it happened.
Oh, yeah, and in fact, Ron Lee was, Ron Lee's the one who bought it from Brud Foster. And Ron was working for us at the time, and it was early in the morning, and he called me up at home, and he says, hey, he said, some stuff's going on down here, and I need a decision maker down at the store. So I hustled down, and yeah, we started backing all the computers up, and we could tell things weren't really good.
Okay.
And then the winds picked up, and the rest is history.
Yeah. Now, you coached like junior high, like kind of Sacred Heart before taking the Custer job. Like, were you like coaching wrestling like younger than that, or have you
What ended up happening is I ended up getting away from coaching for a while when my oldest boy got to high school, and I was just kind of out of it, and then something happened, and I think it was in 2014, and I read in the paper it was the Cowboys didn't score any points at the Cowboy.
Oh, was that Harris's last year?
No,
this was probably after Shane Cooley that class graduated.
Yeah, I think it was 2014. So, but they didn't score any points, and I was like, oh my gosh. You know, John can't do anything if he doesn't have any material to work with.
Yeah.
So I called up the AAU club at the time, and I was like, hey, have you guys started? Because I'd like to come back and coach. And they're like, absolutely, get down here. And so the first night I was down there, I ran into Dan Curry. And Dan Curry was like, Mike, we're going to start junior high wrestling at Sacred Heart again. You need to be the coach. And I was like, Dan, I don't have time for this. I said, I can do the AAU stuff, but I don't really have time for junior high Sacred Heart stuff. And then I thought about it for a night and came back the next day, and I was like, no, you're right, I'll do it. So it just kind of got set up. But, you know, a high school coach can't do anything if he doesn't have any raw material coming in.
Oh, yeah, we'll get
to
that later.
Really needed to.
That kind of is kind of what you've been set up with, kind of what you brought on, kind of what's making this program a little more consistent.
Absolutely.
And, now, and I guess the only semi-sensitive thing I'll bring up is like the Facebook Live of that board meeting.
Okay.
And like Vandy, like kind of what you like, something you talked about, like bringing her back on, like what was successful on your guys' part.
Yeah, you know, and
And of course, she's still going strong on that staff.
Absolutely. And everybody on our coaching staff is important. And none of us overlap. I mean, everybody fills a role. And Vandy's kind of, she's the mom of the team. And, you know, she just kind of organizes everything. And she's integral to what we do.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, I disagreed with that from the beginning.
Yeah.
That decision, okay. But, yep.
Yeah, so something I was told this morning, you know, I might be wrong on this, but, yeah, Dalton didn't resign as athletic director, did he?
I don't know. I did see that it's posted.
Ooh.
So, like, I haven't talked to him, though.
Okay, yeah, now, just like Mike at the center kind of told me some stuff.
Yeah, and I don't really know anything.
Okay, fair enough, but yeah, but that was kind of like some parents were kind of battling back and forth. It's fairly common, you know, parents and like administration kind of blabbering back and forth, you know, with the administration.
Well, and I was at the school board meeting that with his rehire because that was our rehire, and I know they rehired him, so
yeah,
but I don't know anything beyond that.
But anyway, back to like coaching a little bit. Harris's career was kind of a tale of two halves, you know, like with Cooley and Derek and like your oldest son were wrestling. Yeah. They had a couple near misses of a trophy there. And of course, he got one in golf, obviously, but couple near misses at Hardware there at State. That was the last time they beat Sydney at a duel before you guys did it in like 2022 or something like that.
Right.
Now, but like, kind of when you took over, that's kind of had a vision of rebuilding. You know, Damian was coming in, and you guys are fairly close maybe to getting over the hump here soon. Like, brought home some hardware here in the last few years.
Yeah, we've had three trophies out of my 7 years. But here's the deal, Zach, and it even goes back to the 80s. If the AAU program or the club program is solid, the high school is going to be solid.
That's what Sydney has in place. That's what Sydney has always had in place.
Well, and they didn't back in the mid-80s when I was there. They weren't all that good, but that guy really focused in on that. But
Guy Melby when he got there?
And he got there the year after I graduated. But if you look at the AAU in the 70s, AAU wrestling, we were solid. We were tough. And that's what fueled those three state titles that we had in the 80s.
Yeah. Did Paul Gray have any success as the head coach before Raymond came along?
You know, I was too young back then. I remember him coaching me in little guy wrestling. And I think Jack came in 78.
Yeah,
so I would have
from Plentywood.
Yep. I was 11 years old. So I wrestled just little guy for Paul for two or three years.
Yeah, and
he was a great guy.
Yeah, and number one, he was the not only wrestling predecessor to Raymond, he was football coach for before Olaf was. And then number two, I think he just one year in 77, 78, he just left town. He just had a law firm or some insurance law firm kind of down in Wyoming. I don't know where he's at now. Or
I think he passed away, but don't hold me to that.
Okay.
But he was in Sheridan. I know that. I actually went to college with his daughter.
Oh, at so, Wyoming?
At Wyoming. Yeah, we were fun.
Oh,
we were
what's his daughter's name?
Val.
Okay.
So.
I don't know, but so wrestling, obviously, the success you had there, Oklahoma and then Wyoming, what kind of led you to, you know, Oklahoma and then coming back up to Wyoming there a little bit to finish out pre-farm kind of? What you were doing.
So I started out at Oklahoma, like you said, and then I was never going to make the team down there. I was going to be second team probably forever. We were just loaded back then. I think we had taken, the year before we took second in the NCAAs, and we took second that year to Iowa both years, and just tough as could be. And the coaches at Nationals that year actually shot me around, and they liked my work ethic, but they knew I wasn't going to make the team. So
okay.
They talked with a few places, and honestly, it was either going to be Montana, University of Montana, or Wyoming.
Oh, they have a wrestling program that, but no longer do.
Yeah, and that was I had started hearing that they were going to cancel the program, and that's why I went to Wyoming.
That makes sense there.
And the coach Scott Bliss, he was so mad at me because I turned him down twice. You know, I went to Oklahoma and then I went to Wyoming. And he was mad at me and just chewing me out.
Was he the coach at Wyoming or
no?
Montana before they cut the program.
And he and I was like, Scott, they're gonna cancel your program.
Yeah, it's not my problem, right?
And he's like, no, they're not. No, they're not. And I'm like, yes, they are. And then at the Cliff Keen in Vegas that year, I was wrestling varsity for Wyoming, and it was the week before the Cliff Keen. They announced that Montana and Montana State were dropping their programs. And I ran into a Bliss out there, and he wouldn't even look at me. And he was so mad. And then the next year, Joe Dowler was our coach down in Wyoming. Boyd Dowler.
Oh, is that his dad?
No, that was his brother.
Wow.
So Joe Dowler was my coach at Wyoming at the time. And he went to be associate AD or something
like
that.
What are the odds?
Well, and then the coach that got the job after him was Scott Bliss from Montana. So I finally had to wrestle for Bliss, and we actually ended up being really good friends.
That's good.
So,
that's good. I think tough. Call it one of those things like early on, like he really wanted you to wrestle for him, and you invested a lot of time and effort in trying to make that happen. That's.
Yeah. So it's kind of a little backhanded thing there, but yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a lot of success at Wyoming as an individual?
Okay. No, I was probably 500. I had some injuries, and really the thing that took me out more than anything was what happened to my brother.
Okay, fair enough.
So I was.
It makes total sense.
I was ranked number 2 in the WAC. My freshman year.
That's not bad.
Going into the WAC tournament, and then I tore my ACL.
And those will do it to you.
Yeah. That ended that year. And then the next fall is when my brother died. So.
Oh, yeah.
I really come to grips with the injuries didn't really take me out. Mentally, I just couldn't handle them.
Oh, yeah. So. And did any other Custer athletes go to Wyoming? Ever?
Yeah. Actually, Dan Fox, he went down there. I don't know if he had scholarships.
I think he played football at Rocky, though, didn't he?
He did, and he transferred to Rocky.
Oh, he just transferred. Like, he might have, like, just gone to school there and just kind of wanted to.
He was on the wrestling team.
Okay, wrestling. Okay.
And, my other assistant.
I'll have to ask him about that. Yeah. Anyway.
Rob Stroh wrestled for Wyoming. And he's a Chinook guy, but he lives down in Miles City.
Okay, another guy. Cody Kelly. Of course, he was played in 2 bowl games for Wyoming. My 7th grade football coach, and you coached junior high football for a little bit, didn't you?
Yeah, that was a joke. Yeah, I'm good with kids, but I am not a football coach by any means. And in fact, I resigned this year.
And John Edwards, like, he got run out of town by both positions, but that's a conversation for another day.
John, in my opinion, is an excellent coach.
I would agree. Like, he, especially as a jumps coach, kind of struggled with that as the head coach kind of when Yoakum and Polko left there. The program kind of fell off a little bit. But and Kyle's going to – he has the mindset to get it back up a little bit. But when I was in school, he was a jumps coach. We had a lot of success. He coached a couple school record holders and some really good jumpers. Yeah. I think he has another job back down in Maine there. So.
Yeah, I think he's coaching and everything's good there.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, Cody Kelly, back to him.
Yeah. He was actually a freshman when I was a senior.
Yeah, and how about, I think he was actually a freshman in 85, the year Miles City beat Glendive for the title. And he told the story, I'll have to ask him about this. He was supposed to suit up for the state championship game that they lost to Miles City. And he didn't wind up suiting up, but he told our 7th grade football team this back in the day. I was there, and after that, he said, I never missed a workout, played really well. All-State Center, Wyoming, nice. Played in 2 bowl games.
Yep.
Roach. And Joe Tiller, too.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Drew Brees' coach.
Yeah.
And I think he was the keynote speaker at the Badlands Bowl. He just passed away here a few years ago.
Yes, he did, yeah. Yeah, he was a great coach.
And I think he coached the late Kirby Droob. I don't know
who. I didn't know that.
Okay, do you know who Kirby Droob was?
I don't.
Enough. He was a tight end for Wyoming. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Like he had COVID and kind of succumbed to that. That was another sad deal there.
Yeah,
down in Gillette, Wyoming. I have 2 of my best friends went to school with them, near East there. So,
sure.
I think Cody's older brother. Did Cody have an older brother that was an All-State?
Cody Kelly?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, I think he lives up in Jordan.
Yeah, what's the brother's name?
Oh, man.
Casey, maybe? Was it Casey?
Maybe. Yeah,
I think
don't
so.
Put me on the spot.
He was the All-State center for Glendive, I think. And then
nice.
Craig Harding, starting center. He was my math teacher in junior high.
Yep. Yep.
And is he still teaching math at the high school?
I don't think so. I haven't talked to Craig for a couple years.
And of course, his brother Bill, who also passed here a couple years ago.
And he was on that 81 team too.
Two brothers. What are the odds? Bill and Craig Harding were all-state centers for the Cowboys in like 81 and 85. And like Glendive was second in 85 and 88 respectively. And Casey and Cody Kelly brothers were all-state centers for Glendive. Like, it's just coming together. I'm just realizing that.
And I'll tell you, Bill was tough. He was really a tough dude.
Yeah, he was. He had those quotes prove it. Like, kind of, I've heard those stories.
Yeah.
And his son, was Jimmy Harding his son? Or
Jimmy and Matt, yeah.
Both of them were on the 08 team that won it.
Yeah, and Jimmy was an all-state wrestler, too. And yeah. Matt should have been. I mean, Matt was a great wrestler.
Yeah, but like the Harding Ranch,
yep,
obviously.
Mm. You know, it's a little known fact. Matt and I actually wrestled an exhibition match. And Matt had some weight on me, and I'm not going to use that as an excuse, but he kicked my butt.
I guess
so he was probably about a junior or senior in high school, mm-hmm. and however old I would be about that time in my early 30s. And I thought I was just going to wipe the mat with him.
Oh, yeah.
Matt, oh, man. He kicked my butt.
Little story. I mean, like, this might sound a little sensitive, but I did hear a story one time, like, in the mid-90s, like, exhibition match, like, Brian Reed wrestled, and he wrestled McAuliffe one time, and, like,
oh, really?
I mean, he, like, put McAuliffe on his back, and, like, McAuliffe did not appreciate that, so, like, he came at him twice as hard, and he came back and pinned him again, and, like, McAuliffe absolutely hated it, got mad as a hornet.
Yeah, you don't want the high school kids beating you. It's no good. Yeah, no good at all.
I'd hear stories. Tyler Neary would tell me stories about how, like, an assistant coach on his basketball team, like one of his teammates swatted the assistant coach out of the gym, and they're like, he's like, well, if he knows that one, we can always go to this move, and, like, yeah, blocked him again, and he got mad as a hornet. You think this is funny? We can just run.
Yeah, you can't lose to the high school kids. It's not good.
Oh, yeah.
But it does happen. It does happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, you still, like, kind of, like wrestle a little bit with your wrestlers?
Oh,
still?
I wrestle all the time. In fact, we started a Brazilian jiu-jitsu club here.
Oh, yeah. That's been an ongoing thing.
So
you know, Sydney's kind of had those deals. I think there was kind of some, like, matches there in Colstrip. I think didn't Raymond kind of start that whole thing a little bit there? Paper, he kind of wrote a little bit in the paper about, like, you know, this style, Greco-Roman style kind of, but, like.
Well, yeah, freestyle and Greco are different than, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is a completely different sport. But
like, that guy kind of, he's kind of like a wrestling genius from a technical point of view.
Yeah, he was good for his day. You know what, I'll say this, wrestling right now is so much more technical. Back in my day, we were just kind of tough and strong, and now they're actually good. You know, they're way better than we were. That is an absolute fact. But yeah, I would say Jack was, he was kind of cutting edge back in the day.
Yeah, and like, the program kind of had its moments later on in his career, and that's kind of for another day there, but yeah. Like something you said, like, about it being technical, like, something you said in the school board meeting, you know, like, with Vandy, you know, like with only a woman can, like, teach, like, these specific moves to girls.
There's some sensitive things you just don't want to be teaching a girl.
And, like, she's kind of the person to, like, take hold of that.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, her, and now we've got Jada Fox.
Oh, she's coming back. That's a double plus.
She coached junior high for us this year. And I think she got rehired again for next year.
Yeah,
so
that's good.
Know, and honestly, Jade is like, she's one of the very first women who actually wrestled in high school in Montana.
Yeah.
And is now coaching.
And like,
and she's gonna actually, her and I are on the coaching staff for Team Montana going over to Germany this year.
Sweet. I think last summer actually, I was running on the track one time and I saw, I think, a bunch of kids from a couple different towns were. Was that a something similar? Like, you're going, like...
Okay, so this...
Like, this was last year. Right. There was a bunch of people at the wrestling complex.
Yeah, so we'll have our camp coming up here real quick. and Tyson Thievridge from MSU Northern's coming down, and that'll be for 3 days.
Is that Orion's brother?
Dad.
Okay.
And then we'll have what you saw last year was that is Team Montana for Fargo. Fargo's the biggest.
That's the biggest one. Yes. I've been told, like, one of my buddies covered that for USA Wrestling, and he said, like, there's NCAA champions who don't even win that meet in high school.
They don't.
So it's that big.
It is that big. But Team Montana stops here for, well, I guess last year it was about 5 days. I think this year it's going to be 3 days. And we do our last little camp here, and then they head from here to Fargo. It just makes sense to have it here. We've got a great facility, and we're on the eastern part of the state. The only one that would make more sense is to have it in Glendive. But you know, we've got a great facility, so
yeah,
we just do
it's
it
like,
here.
What was the deal? Was it kind of like, now, like, first off, I guess Kyle Pryor kind of gave that wrestling gig up. Like, is he still a junior high in wrestling?
Yes,
or did
he is.
Still junior high, but he stepped away from the high school.
Yeah, he was getting his master's degree, and so he was getting into where he had too much, on his plate.
Yeah, well,
and then his boys are now coming up, so.
Oh, yeah. I umpire them in baseball.
They're great kids.
Oh, they are. He's like,
Keller's my man.
Keller's got that lefty swing. It's pretty dang good.
He is. He's awesome. Love that kid.
And, anyway.
I think Ramsey does good in basketball.
Yeah.
She should be a wrestler.
Anyway, like.
If you hear this, Kyle, she should be a wrestler.
Like. And maybe she'll pull a Trace Jones 2-timer and then play basketball. Trace Jones, he would have been a 4-timer. Like, we can talk crap about that all day long. They even made a newspaper article about that.
You know, and I don't really know that situation because I was down in Wyoming when all that was going on. So, but yeah, I kind of know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Gresh, 4-timer. Yep. Like, that's similar. David Regalado. We talked about this on the phone one time. Fourth as a freshman, third as a sophomore, second as a junior, then senior year he quit wrestling. Credit to my dad for telling me that one. Like, he didn't go out his senior year.
Man, I know. And you'd have to ask David.
I think I was told like he was just chasing girls shit like that.
I don't know about that. David hated cutting weight. And that's
same as Trey. Trey said the same thing.
And that's the one thing I'll say. You know, Jack always wanted everybody to cut weight. Yeah. And I disagree with that.
I guess as far as I'll go, he kind of like was extreme on like cutting weight, stuff like
the team,
getting the team doctor to kind of like certify people at like as low a weight as they could possibly get.
Right. And you know, every coach was that. I don't want to just single out Jack. I mean, every one of them back then it was cut weight, cut weight, cut weight.
And it was like a little more unhealthy in unhealthy ways than what it was.
Yeah, and anymore, I don't care where the guys wrestle. Now, they did change the sport. We can take 4 extra guys. You know, we can double up in a weight class. And if they would have had that back then, I'll tell you what, here's another one you probably don't know. I don't know if you've ever heard of Mike Littleton.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Mike Littleton is now, he's an assistant coach for the girls Skyview team. And Mike was a great wrestler. He should have been a 2-time, maybe even a 3-time All-Stater, but he couldn't make our team because he was wrestling behind, me or Mike Lucas or Shane Hirsch.
Yeah, didn't you say, like, you and Mike Lucas were kind of besties growing up and, like, he was a year older?
We were very good friends. Yeah, we still are.
Yeah. I know I'm a distance runner. How about his son, Hunter? He was a big-time Division I distance runner,
I think
405 mile in college. He just got out of Minnesota and Boise State.
Did he graduate from Boise?
I think so.
Okay.
Tyler's cousin.
Yep.
He was an outstanding distance runner, Gatorade Runner of the Year for cross and track. One of the best distance runners of all time.
Yeah. And, Mike didn't do a whole lot of running in high school, but
football and wrestling, I think. He was an All-State DB on the 85 team.
He was a very good golfer, too.
Yeah, and I think John Harris played golf in high school.
He did. He was very good. Very good.
Yeah, but, like, there were some good ones, but like 13 was the only team to ever place at state for boys. But girls have had some unbelievable success because Harris was maybe
John was
had
a great athlete.
A little
all
bit
around.
Second, first. You know, and then they finally got over the hump one as a team.
And he was a great catcher in baseball. And and actually getting back to something that we talked about right at the beginning, one of the reasons I ended up quitting football is because me and John were on the JV team, and Jack Raymond was our coach.
Ah.
And John broke his hand, got smashed between two helmets. And he missed the rest of the football season, and I think he missed part of the wrestling season.
Ah.
And I never got on the field again after you know, one of Jack's all-state wrestlers gets hurt. It was over for me. I was never going to see the field again.
Yeah, I feel like he played football like his junior or something, like maybe not as a senior.
John, yeah. Yeah, neither one of us did. So his senior year.
Golf and baseball were the constants. He ended up coaching, he's been a big uptime baseball umpire since he was in high school.
Yes.
And of course.
And he was one of the best wrestling officials ever.
Too. Oh, yeah. And, he was kind of umpiring clinic kind of before I started umpiring Little League Baseball. And he did the Legion World Series, Newhouse every year to college. He could have been a major league umpire if he really climbed the ladder, man.
You know, and he, don't quote me on all this, but I know that he officiated some college wrestling too.
Okay.
He was one of the best in the state.
I'll have to ask him about that.
I'll tell you what, I was actually, when he took the coaching job, I was shocked. Because he was
in the mid-2000s.
Yep, because he was such a good official, and I was surprised he did it.
Yeah, and was his brother Mark Harris by chance?
Yeah.
And he was a state champ in the 70s as well.
Yep. Yeah. If you look, you know, we've got a wall of fame down at the wrestling building.
Okay.
And Harris is the most name on that. On that board, because him and his brothers.
I gotta take a look at that. But
yeah.
Another one that probably one
Mark
two of the better
Ryan
ones that he
John.
Coached. He coached him like three. Didn't he coach three state champs in 1 year or something? Or pretty close. Not
oh
not
gosh.
Quite. But he had,
no,
had
he
a
did.
Few of them.
It was
like Shane Cooley.
Yeah.
Now Shane Cooley, not only on a football field but on a wrestling mat, he just had that dog in him, like just that next level mindset and everything that he did.
Absolutely. Yeah, Shane
he
was
difference
good.
Maker in every sport that he did.
Shane was Shane was the easiest kid to coach. Him and Damian Lightholt are probably they're about the same. Damian's a little bit more mischievous than Shane.
They look very similar to each other. They look just like each other in
yeah,
a way.
Yeah,
like,
they do. And show Shane something once and he'd pick it up. He was incredible, but Damian was the same way.
Yeah, did Shane do track as well?
I think so.
Oh, I don't know. I wonder if he made it to state. I have to ask other people that,
yeah,
but like.
I don't know how he
wrestling,
did track.
He got over the hump as junior, and then he just didn't quite get it done as a senior, but his senior worked out for him in football, though.
Yes,
of course,
he did.
His sophomore year in football. Scored his first career touchdown in the varsity in the state championship game.
Yep.
Of course.
You know, if you think about it, Damian was kind of a hero in that his junior year.
Yeah,
also.
Derek Singleton. was he a two-timer, Derek Singleton?
No, Derek was only a one-timer.
Just nine?
Yeah.
And that was the year they kind of got fifth or fourth or sixth, near miss kind of.
Fifth that year.
So
I'd
kind of kind of some near misses, though.
Yeah, and that year, or their junior year, they had four in the finals and three won it. Shane lost to Mabakevich out of Haver.
And didn't he lose to, now, the year he won, now I know that junior beat a guy named, was it Heinbach from Haver that
it
he beat?
It was Eli Heinbach,
He married Mark Solser's daughter, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's actually, he's one of the best officials in the state now, too.
Oh, he's a wrestling official
yes,
there?
Yes, and he's good. I really appreciate Eli.
Something I was going to get to, actually, this might sound random, like we were talking about Billing Skyview and coaches.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, I brought up the name Brian Reed earlier. His dad was the coach at Billing Senior back in the day.
Yep.
Like, I heard stories about, like, Rich Malley was an assistant, and, like, he would, like, one time in the late 80s, he's, like, gotten a official's face, started yelling at the officials, and Brian's dad, like, just carried him off the – bear hugged and carried him off the mat. And his actions cost the Falcons a team point.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't doubt that. Rich, he's a good guy. I like him.
And,
but yeah, I think he gets a little fired up.
He's kind of all retired and everything from coaching, though, isn't he? Or like
– No, I think he helps out Bo.
Maybe
think
like because Bo's the head guy at Lockwood now.
Lockwood,
he's doing unbelievably well.
Yep. Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know if Rich actually wound up wrestling himself back in the day.
He never did. He was a soccer player.
Okay, but like, as a wrestling coach, his boys obviously, and you know,
all his boys,
four-timer,
tough.
You know,
yeah.
Like D1 wrestlers, and Skyview kind of had the most success they ever had in that sport.
Oh yeah, yeah. And yeah, it was, you know, Dave Meyer was the head coach and Rich was his assistant, and then Rich took over, and yeah, a great program back then.
Didn't like Don Reed, like not the Grizz coach, completely no relation, nothing. didn't he coach a three-timer, you know, and it's gotta be like, I don't know. I feel like he did, like was a three-timer, like lost his freshman year or something, like.
Are you thinking of maybe Reese Andy?
Maybe, okay, fair enough. I don't remember the name myself, or else I would.
Well, and Reese Andy was a three-timer from Skyview, and then he wrestled for Wyoming. And he was a two-time, or I think three-time All-American. He was in the finals twice. Lost to Les Gutchess from Oregon State twice. And Les Gutchess is just, he's, you know, a Hall of Famer in wrestling.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, kind of some seconds and some thirds. I don't know how to ask this. Like, how many years do you see yourself, you know, kind of staying in this coaching profession, just coaching gig?
You know, it's funny because my assistant coaches always joke with me. I got to coach till I'm 80 so I can catch Melby.
Joe Paterno.
So we'll see. Yeah. I shouldn't say that. I don't work in the pharmacy as much as I used to.
Decisions are the same, but like not there as much.
Yeah, I'm not there at all anymore. It seems like I'm coaching wrestling all the time. So I kind of look at this as being my retirement gig, you know, being the wrestling coach. As long as I can keep getting on the mat, I'll keep going.
Yeah, it's like, you guys had a few seniors. Like, I love how, like, I should have said this at the beginning. Like, last time I saw you, actually, it was like state wrestling tournament, yep. You know, like, and you lost your voice more than anyone I'd ever seen. You're like, you sounded like Wheezy from Toy Story. Like,
I think we wrestled as good as we could have. Yeah, you know, and it's funny because I don't yell at the kids on the mat. That's what my assistants do.
It's their moment, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you coach during the week and you let the kids wrestle, you know. I just make sure the score's right and the reffing is right, you know.
And like, one thing you've said in the paper before, you know, like, if it's not the state tournament or divisional tournament, other tournaments, like, one thing you were concerned about, like, was instances where there wasn't, like, mats kind of lined up on the wall for, like, safety if they go out of bounds and hit their head on, like, a brick wall or something like
Man,
that.
That's happened before.
And, like, does that still happen to this day, anywhere, any place?
Yeah, you know, everybody's gotten better about it. It's really, it's difficult because you want to pack as many mats into a gym as you can. And obviously, you know, the gym just can only hold so much.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, the safety's tough.
That's a problem I see with basketball. Like, some basketball gyms have mats all across the board and, like, some don't.
Yeah.
Like the junior high gym, for example, like, people better be careful. I've actually maybe seen one or two guys hit their head on there.
Yeah, or Billings Central's old gym. I mean,
that's still their gym to this day. Yeah. That's the problem. It's one-sided.
It's crazy.
To this day, like, private schools are private schools, but, like, that's, like, they're, like, the only one-sided gym in the state. Like, I'll just do a little comparison. You know what's worse than that? Like, Stevensville being the only Class A school that doesn't have a paved track. They have dirt.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You know, like,
holy cow. Yeah, that's, you know, crazy.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure I saw, like, an article one time, like, of a Stevensville wrestler. He only, like, didn't have, like, use of his arms. He had a, like, little condition or something.
Oh, I don't know about
I don't know
that.
If Stevensville's really had a very strong wrestling program ever. Corvallis has. Hamilton, I'm not sure, but.
You know, in my day, Stevensville was pretty good.
Okay. They were second in football.
Yeah.
Like, George Washington. They beat Miles City, like, only time they ever played,
right.
Gary's junior year.
Yep, and they were pretty decent wrestling back then, but I don't ever really remember them being good wrestling besides that.
Yeah, like, George Washington was the coach. Joe Cummings from Wyoming. Do you know who he was?
No.
Joe Cummings. Oh, he from Stevensville. He played at Wyoming. I thought Cody Kelly would know. I think he would have been – maybe he was teammates with Cody Kelly. I don't know.
Well, that would have been right when I was getting out of school. So.
Okay. Just another thought that he played for Wyoming. But, yeah, Steve I. Yeah.
Nice.
I guess
Mitch Donahue was playing when I was wrestling.
Okay, and his son Dylan played for the Jets for a short time, and then he got himself into trouble, like drinking and driving, you know, and he played some arena football or something. But like, I think he and his dad run a roofing company in Billings now.
Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds right.
He's probably gone the furthest, arguably, of any Billings athlete, like Montana Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and he should be.
Speaking of Montana Football Hall of Fame, you know, this sounds like a random topic, but do you know who Corey Widmer was?
Nah, that name doesn't ring a
bell. Okay, I could probably move on from that. He denied induction into Montana Football Hall of Fame because he said it destroyed his life.
Oh, wow.
Like concussion, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, Zach, I still live with the repercussions from concussions. I mean, suffer every day.
Wrestling, stuff like that.
Well, I think there was a little bit in wrestling, but the little bit I played of football, you know, they'd slap us on the butt and say, get back out there.
Like, because it was more common playing through stuff back then.
Hey, we did, yeah. You know, but I live with vertigo now.
So does my dad.
There's not a day I go.
Yeah, my dad got in a car crash once over on exit 135, you know, here. Yep. And like, it could have been dangerous. I think he still has that pickup.
It's not good the way they. Yeah, I'm glad that we treat the concussions the way we do now. We take them serious.
Yeah. Are there any moments that stand out, like people like playing through injury, stuff like that? Now, I know you have to talk. Something we never talked about. Ryan Roloff actually started the game with glove on his hand, and then he got knocked out of the game. Double whammy, hit right in the thigh. There, I think, is what happened. I think the hand injury wasn't entirely the reason he sat out, but
I don't think so either. But I think he was having a tough time gripping the ball too with that glove. But I'm remembering back. Gosh, that's 43 years ago.
Okay.
But you know, I'm thinking he did have trouble with that, and Gary really did. Gary was a heck of a quarterback.
Yeah. Now
he really was good.
Yeah. Now Gary, he was unbelievable. Like sophomores waited their turn then, but I guess that's he had a good game against Baker, against the Stanton boys. Fun fact: Ed Roloff coached Dan Stanton in the '86 Shrine Game.
I didn't know that. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, you know, and then after that year, there were a bunch of sophomores that ended up making the team the next year.
Well, yeah, varsity. They sat varsity, but
I think Wittenhagen's. I think he might have started.
Yeah, and he kind of passed away 10 years later in a train accident.
Yes, he did.
It was just. And then I think Ed retired '85, and then they won their third in a row state championship the next week.
Yeah, that was a tough time when that happened. So
yeah, and I'm not sure any sophomore started for Olaf until the late '90s most likely.
And you're probably right. I'm just trying to think back. I know that Shane Anderson from my class got bumped up to varsity. Keith did. I think there was a couple other guys. I think Dave Laird did.
Yeah.
And maybe they only played special teams. You know, another fun little fact, Shane Anderson from here was a Pac-10 football official and for 30 years, and he just retired.
Wow. So, I did not know that.
Yep, and he's a pharmacist out in Coeur d'Alene or Post Falls or somewhere.
Sweet.
Out there. Yep.
Yeah, I guess all I have left is a few seconds, a few thirds. You know, you got to think maybe one of these years. You know, knock on wood, could be the year. One of these years.
You know, and you kind of got to get lucky, you know, and that's the thing.
You got to be damn good and you got to be damn lucky.
Yeah, you do. And it's our last year, not this last season, but the season before, was probably our best shot.
The year you got second, and Columbia Falls just happened to have an all-time great team. He come out of nowhere.
Yeah, Columbia Falls, I mean, nobody saw that coming. And they had an unbelievable Friday. Crap, they won it. Friday, they won it. They were so far ahead of everybody. There's no way we're catching
them. Not just this year, but it was the year before as well. All you guys just wrestled as good as you possibly could have. I know Beardsley didn't win the year between his sophomore and senior years, got third or something like that, but
got third.
But you guys still kind of wrestled as good as you possibly could have, yeah. And still brought home some second.
Yeah, and then this year, nobody saw us coming. You know, we could have maybe snuck into third this year, but they didn't even have us in the top 10, and we took fourth. So
yeah, and like
pretty happy about that.
And like something I heard, I think Sydney got fourth. You guys got second. Like it at first, and then someone told me they took Laurel's third place hardware away from him and gave it to Sydney two months later.
They did.
Scoring
error.
There was
a scoring error.
Oh my God! Wouldn't that be a horrible way to lose that?
Well, and it
3 months later.
It was worse than that too. I talked to Guy about it, and he said that it looked like they had to get a new plate, you know, to engrave it. So Laurel had already had it engraved, so they already had it probably in their trophy case and everything. So
did the MHSA confiscate it or no?
Yeah, the MHSA, I'm sure, just called them up and said, hey, you got to send it over to Sydney.
Oh, no.
But what happened was you can't, you know, if you get a win, in wrestling, if you're on the winner's side, it's 2 points. Mm-hmm. And if you're on the loser's side, it's 1 point. And then if you get a major decision or a tech fall or a pin, you get bonus points.
But
if you wrestle your own team, you can't get bonus points.
It's like if it's like, yeah, I've seen teammates, Holden and Gabe Walker, for example, in the championship match, Holden sophomore year.
Right, so, and actually, Gabe pinned Holden, and we didn't get the bonus points for the pin because you can't get the bonus points if you're wrestling.
Yeah,
your
still got third that year, didn't you?
We got third that year.
I believe. Like by like half a point over Laurel. Tough luck. I think they got over the hump. Those were their motivations. They finally got over the hump this year.
I'll tell you what though, I don't know what it is over there. I think it's Mark Verlaning. Mark's one of their assistants,
and he's their junior high coach. Dylan Kramer, he was a state runner-up for Laurel. He's in Ronan now, He's in Ronan, and I think they came close.
But I don't know what they're doing, but I think Verlaning just keeps developing these junior high guys. And
yeah.
I don't know where they're getting these guys from. They just keep showing up. So I need to figure out what Verlaning's doing, though.
Yeah, and of course, Ronan, I think they had a near miss at a trophy this year, but of course they're girls, obviously. I'll get to the girls in a second, but like, I think, is Dylan Kramer the head coach there?
He is.
Okay, yep. How long has he been the head coach?
Oh, I think it's about the same as me. I think it's, you know, 7 or 8 years.
So like, they used to be as much of a powerhouse as Sydney was back in the day.
Oh yeah, yeah, they were good. Back in the day, they were good.
I guess the last thing I have before I run out of ammo, Mike, here is, now, Ronan, girls, back-to-back titles, I think.
Yep.
So, like, Kramer's probably that. Is he the head of that, or is boys and girls a little different?
Well, I don't know exactly how they run it, but I think that Cameron Neese actually runs the girls, but I think Dylan is the head coach overall still. But I think it's like I'm the head coach of Miles City, and then Dan Fox is
– Oh, like he's one for of my both programs.
Yeah, for both programs. And then Dan's the head girls coach here, and I think they do it the same way over there. So I think technically Dylan is, but I think Cameron Neese, who was a two-timer for Ronan. In fact, Casey Maker, his junior year.
The name sounds familiar.
From Miles City.
Yeah.
Casey was a two-timer. But then when Derek's senior year, Derek Singleton lost to Cameron his senior year.
Derek Singleton, is that Shay Lee's older brother?
It is.
Okay. I guess the last thing I have, like, we talked about, like, luck, you know, like, getting over the hump, stuff like that. Ronan obviously blasts too, but, like, the girls lock on load, like, they kind of got that consistency, back-to-back second-place finishes.
Yep.
And
I think our girls program is just getting stronger and stronger.
Maybe
and
just
stronger.
Knocking wood, we'll see if either one, you know, the girls, just the consistency wise, like, that they've kind of had the better chances the last couple years. Like, Ronan kind of, like, had it in them, their girls program.
Ronan is just, they've got four girls right now that are just tough as nails.
And are those girls still in high school?
They are. They were juniors this year. They'll be seniors.
And it's just young all across the board.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And then, I mean, one of their girls, Tears of Two Teeth, I mean, she's nationally ranked.
Yeah, and so is Tylene Vasquez of Kalispell. She would have had they had girls wrestling at that time, but she was a state placer for girls. I don't know where she ended up at the end of her high school career, but
I'm not sure she's wrestling anymore.
But
don't hold me to that. I
guess last thing, like, want a powerhouse wrestling program, go with Kalispell in AA and Sydney as well.
Yeah. Yeah, Flathead's doing pretty good right now. And but you know,
yeah, West, they won it. And you know, you said first thing you started the podcast with, I'm the only like one sport athlete in Custer history. Like,
no, how about, I was the first.
The first. How about the same kid probably said Kian Hernandez of Billings West. He's probably the first like one sport athlete to win the Midland Roundtable Award.
Oh really? I didn't know that.
He was like one sport, four timer, but yeah. that's how he won it.
Yeah, he's dominant too.
Yes, is he gonna go wrestle anywhere?
Yeah, you know? he signed with Iowa.
Okay, that makes sense. Guy. Yeah, I guess that's all I have. Yeah. Great to have you on, and like,
absolutely.
We'll have to catch
anytime,
up somewhere
man.
Around wrestling season.
You betcha, it was fun.